Welcome to the Self Love Uncensored podcast. We are your hosts. I am Vanessa McWilliams.
And I'm Amanda Wozni.
And we are self-proclaimed experts in all things self-love.
Here you'll find uncensored discussions about life, living unapologetically, and becoming our best selves. Welcome to episode 23.
Are we on 23 already?
23. I know. I had to go add the number when I was typing down here. And we missed last week, so we're very sorry to our handful of followers that missed us on Monday. My husband was already giving me crap. He was like, I gotta go listen to your new one. I'm like, there isn't a new one. He's like, what? It's like, you know what we talk about anyways, but whatever.
Be right? Excited.
I love you for it. So
life happens.
That's right. He's our number one fan, I'm pretty sure.
Aw, we love him. Yes, and everybody that follows us. But yes, it was a weird week, but that's okay. Life happens.
That's right.
It is what it is.
But this week we have an amazing guest that will totally make up for skipping a week. Mm-hmm. So today we have SJ on the podcast, and SJ is a certified health and life coach whose agenda is to teach people how to shift from surviving to thriving in the big five areas of life. Her intention is to help people remember and embrace their internal power and wisdom so that they can step back into the driver's seat of their own life. Sammy, oh, see there, I did it already. Sorry, Sammy. SJ is the founder of Lifestyle Rising, and that's where you can find her on Instagram and lifestylerising.com. So welcome, SJ.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Very excited.
We're so excited to have you. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm just going to like sit back and get comfortable with my water bottle. Can't wait.
You know, it's SJ is a friend of mine from Grand Prairie here in Northern Alberta in Canada. And I messaged her because she's brilliant. And I asked her to be on the podcast, and I asked her to kind of come up with a topic that she wanted to talk about. And she sent me a couple voice memos about what she wanted to talk about. And I was like, holy fuck, I am so glad I messaged you, because you guys are in for a treat. She's brilliant, and I can't wait for you to hear it. So, but before we get into that, SJ, tell us a little bit about yourself from your own perspective.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Amanda. I really appreciate it. And yeah, it's essentially like you mentioned, my whole mission, my whole purpose in this life, which took me a while to find, is to help people regain their own internal power. I think for all of us, for Vanessa, Amanda, and myself as coaches, as people who want to help others, we've had times in our life where we've been through some shit and we know what it feels like. So then it's really important to us to allow others to not go through the same thing, with the awareness that the stuff we do is not going to change society tomorrow, next month, probably not even in my lifetime, but it's still worth it for the legacies of future generations.
Yes. Yes. So good.
Yes. I think that's something that a lot of people miss, that a lot of like the elite level coaches that I listen to, like that's one of their big things in their life. Like they have things like their health, say, or their family, but legacy seems to always be in there. And I think we kind of forget that no matter who we are and what we do, we have the ability to leave a legacy. It might only be for a handful of people, but it is something that you should keep in the forefront of your mind. And I think we've kind of lost that. So I love that you use that word.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have a lot of choice because, Vanessa, you might not know this, but I don't have kids. Right. And I think when you're a parent, you have this beautiful opportunity to have that legacy. Right. And not having kids is like, shit, I can't leave a legacy, but yeah, I can in all my actions and interactions. Right. So it's the positive ripple effect, which I think, positive or negative, we forget how much energetic transference there really is in everything we do, even the teeny tiny minute actions, even the small thoughts that we feel like are in the privacy of our own mind are still influencing how we see and act with the world.
100%. Yeah. I'm a true believer that like every time you go out into the world, you have the opportunity to change somebody's life. It's, you know, even with kindness and love and, you know, strangers and everything, like the smallest ripple can create a ripple throughout that person to goes to that person to go, like, we all have the ability to change everything. Right. And like legacy and the whole nine yards. Like I'm not using words really well today. This is going to be interesting for me. I'm not wording very well. Totally fine.
We get the gist of what you're saying. I mean, it can literally be as simple as like, how often do people say like, oh, somebody bought me my coffee in the drive-thru and I was having like the worst day and it totally flipped everything around for me. And I like was able to find gratitude and I was able to be happier. Like those little things, those kind of things, if that's how you show up in the world, I'm not saying you have to buy everybody a coffee, but you get the general idea, right? To just be, to be grateful and put that positive energy forward. Like it does, it makes a difference. And that can be as simple as a legacy. It doesn't have to be complicated. So, and it certainly doesn't have to be children. Some days I wonder if my children are going to be a legacy because they can be little hellions, but I'm sure they'll grow up and make me proud one day.
100%.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, SJ, what does self-love mean to you?
Are you hitting me with like the hard questions first?
Well, we got to get these out of the way so that you can just blow our minds here in a little bit.
No, I'm just kidding. It's funny. So when Amanda, you know, like told me about this and even about self-love, and it's funny because I've been a coach for a while and I couldn't come up with anything when it comes to self-love. It's not that I'm not a fan of self-love. It's just, I'm not a fan necessarily of how trendy it is or how in our faces it is nowadays, because there's a huge element of self-sabotage to it and our words and actions don't always meet, and labeling everything, I think, sometimes creates more conflict than it does anything else. But on the other hand, it is really good to label stuff so that we can feel connected. We can have a sense of understanding, like language is really important for that. So for me, self-love, when I think about it, then it's under the umbrella of self-awareness and self-knowing, because my humble opinion is that self-love cannot be present without a sense of self-awareness and self-understanding. So I'm more of a fan of like self-love and self-understanding and self-worth versus self-love, because that's an umbrella, but those other two need to be there, or else what is self-love aside from words we say and pretend to have?
Totally. I 100% agree. And I think that was one of the main reasons why Amanda and I wanted to start this podcast, was because that term self-love does get tossed around so much. And it's like this floofy, marshmallowy idea of like, we're women and we have self-love and this is what we're supposed to be. When in reality, it's like, we can have self-love, but we also have to, exactly like you said, you have to have the actual awareness, right? Like you have to go through the lessons, you have to go through the gunk and the muck and all the traumas and all the things that hold us down. And you have to go through that to get to the place where you do feel self-love for yourself, right? And self-love has been tossed around, like you said, so easily nowadays. And for me, it's like, a lot of the times when I do coaching and a lot of the times when we do public speaking events and stuff, a lot of people are scared almost of the term self-love. Like a lot of people, especially from who I've worked with, come to me and they say, well, I don't feel like self-love is really something that's going to happen for me because I just don't love myself that much right now. And they just can't see that far in the future. You know what I mean? And they don't think that that's a possibility for them, when in reality it is. It's just becoming really aware of the things that you do, the words that you use, the people you know, the content that you have, that you're consuming, the people that you hang out with, like all of those things. Once you have an awareness about all of that, that's where self-love can grow. But I think like the term, like when we started doing the podcast, we were both like, we want to talk about self-love and what it actually is, not just the floofiness of what society thinks that it is, right? And that's why we called it Self-Love Uncensored, because it's the real shit. Like it's the hard stuff, right? So yeah, I'm glad that you said that, because it's so true that self-awareness is, it really is the meat and potatoes of what self-love is. It's, you can't have one without the other, 100%. Yeah.
I think totally the other problem too with self-love is that it gets very confused with self-indulgence, which I think would probably be interchangeable with you saying self-sabotage, Sammy. Like it's, how many times have you seen like wine and chill or Netflix and chill or whatever, right? Like you're not actually taking care of self. Yes. You're indulging in the things that you want, not in the things that your body and yourself actually need from you. And I think that that's where that cliche comes from, because self-love is so interchanged with things that are not actually loving towards yourself. Like having a glass of wine, fine. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But you cannot call that self-love or self-care in any sort of productive fashion, because drinking alcohol simply isn't a solution to any of your problems. I can guarantee you 100% that alcohol is not helping anything in your life, even if it's only one. So I think it's very important to clarify that.
It's also like cheap, easy marketing nowadays, right? Where we're very like clickbait fast. What's going to fix me the fastest? Oh, self-love. Oh, easy marketing, right? Like it's so lazy sometimes. And that might be a little bit controversial. Your viewers might be like, oh, you guys lost all your viewers because what I just said, but it's true. It's cheap and lazy to just market everything as self-love, knowing that, like, as coaches, we can manipulate people's emotions, right? Like use the power for bad. You can do that. And it is done in this industry, which just like agitates me.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
It's so deceitful. It's really unfortunate. And so many people can't see through it, which is why we're trying to do what we do. Yeah. Bring awareness to it. Right. So we're bringing awareness to your self-awareness so you can get better at self-love.
Yes.
100%.
Okay. One more question before we get into your awesome topic. What piece of advice would you give someone just starting a journey towards learning how to love themselves, towards self-awareness, all those things?
So instead of advice, I would offer them insight that they are not just starting. I don't think this is like a start, stop type thing. Everything you've been doing in your life so far has led you to that. Even if you feel like it's not a journey towards self-love, self-awareness, we cannot get to where we're going without everything that's happened, even if it's awful, miserable things. Yeah. So you're not just starting and you've been through hard stuff. There's going to be more hard stuff too. Let's be honest. But this is not a start, and knowing that the path is not this, and sometimes, so my path is not linear, and going off the path sometimes is as much on the path as anything else is.
Hell yes. Yes. So good.
I love that.
Love it too.
It's just a way more in-depth way to kind of say that everything that happens happens for a reason and everything is meant to be, right? Like everything that happens, like you said, no matter how much it sucks, like that's the journey that you're here to take. That's what you've got to work with. So rather than being bitter and spiteful and everything about your past, like learn that it's brought you to where you are and it's going to be capable of taking you to where you want to go to.
And how much pressure to be like, well, this is the start of my path. And then when we don't succeed, it's like, well, this path sucks. Or we romanticize it. Oh, this is the path. And then you're just honeymooning it. And it's not like, we all know it, the path is not this fun thing. Like you're in the thing, you're in the mud. If you are not in the mud, you're going to go through some mud to get to the end somewhere. So it's either a false narrative or a romantic narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's totally. Such a good way of looking at it. I love it. You're so brilliant, Sammy. I always learn something every time I talk to her. SJ. I cannot remember that. You're Sammy. Like, I'm sorry. Amanda. Yeah, I know. I'm terrible at this podcasting thing. All right. Well, Sammy has a super cool topic that she wants to talk to us about. And we're going to sit back and listen and maybe throw some questions at you as you go. If we can't grasp what you're trying to say, or if we're mind blown by it or whatever. So I'm going to let you take the floor a little bit and teach us some stuff.
Awesome. So when Amanda asked me to think about this, and I did, something that I really like talking about is what Amanda already kind of brought up, is where's the line between self-love and self-sabotage? Mm-hmm. So self-indulgence, yes, but self-sabotage happens so often, and we can say these pretty little white lies that, once again, no one knows other than ourselves. The thing is that really holds us back. And that's why I don't necessarily love self-love direct talks. Also white coat syndrome. If you have us three saying, well, this is self-love, people do it, it can actually be self-sabotage. So even from my own personal journey, I did not find exercise in a healthy way. It was coming off an assault. It was coming off an eating disorder. It was coming off me self-harm. Like it in no way was me finding exercise a positive thing. Yet our society really looks at exercise as a form of self-love, no matter what. But I was exercising because I hated myself. I was exercising because I thought it was disgusting. I was exercising because I was blaming my own body on the reason why I was attacked. So it was my fault, actually, for the way my body was that this happened. I fell into exercise, super negative, but I got all the praise in the world for it. So then it's just this very negative, super dangerous hamster wheel that I was on because I was all about self-love, right? So where does self-love turn into self-sabotage? Like Amanda said, with self-indulgence, the alcohol is never helping. We might think it is. And it's not even negative that people are doing that. They just don't know a different way. So there is that compassion for it, but it's just never going to get help. Or what about buy this because you deserve it? And then we get into debt and we don't know how to get out of the debt. And all of these things are just this loop, forgetting that self-love is super subjective. And I'm also a firm believer, and I would love to hear your guys' opinion on this. Self-love can't necessarily be taught in our Western culture. We're very good at learning from a logic standpoint versus an embodied standpoint. How can we learn self-love from this logical standpoint without the embodied wisdom, which is a huge piece that is missing from our educational system? So yeah, like I said, I'd be really curious to hear what your guys' thoughts are on that. If we can actually fully teach, sure, we can give tools, we can teach tools 100%.
Yeah.
But can we fix someone's lack of self-love without them fixing it themselves first and then letting us help them and guide them?
Mm-hmm. I think that's, I agree with you. Whenever, anytime that we ever do like talks or anytime I ever do stuff with coaching clients or we ever do Transformation Weekend stuff, we're always ensuring that we're coming from a place of love ourselves, right? Like I am super heart-centered. If you know me as a person, like I call this the asshole. This thing between our ears is the one that tricks us into thinking, you know, the limiting beliefs and all the subconscious crap that we've been, you know, taught over the years as we've been kids and growing up and all the things. And it's when you get out of here and you get back into here that the true self-compassion starts to come. And this is where the real learning happens. If you can get yourself on a path where you're coming from here, and it takes a lot of time to be able to go through the work and the traumas and all the things and the yuck and the muck and the everything to get to a place where you trust this more than you trust this, that's where self-love grows. Mm-hmm. 110%. I'm a firm believer in that, is that self-love doesn't come from here. It will never come from here. Mm-hmm. This is the thing you have to get away from, because this is the thing that's on autopilot, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to think. It doesn't, even though it's our brain and it does the thinking and it keeps us alive, it doesn't do the thinking. This does the thinking, the meaningful thinking for us, right? But it's, I think a lot of people that don't have self-compassion and are stuck in a place where they don't feel like they're good enough. They don't feel like they're worthy enough. They've just been in here too long. And that's okay. Most of us have been, because this is the part of us that's been conditioned for however old you are, since you were a baby, this has been conditioned to be a certain way, right? And we got to get out of it. And that's where we, I think, as coaches come in, is to not necessarily, yes, we do teach, we teach the tools and such, but more or less we help guide. I find myself thinking of myself as like a bumper when you're bowling, right? Like the person is the bowling ball and you might smack off this side, but instead of going into the gutter and being there for a really long time because you feel like you suck or you failed or whatever, we're kind of just the bumper where it's like, okay, you failed. That's okay. Like, boop, let's just get back on again. And like you said before, I don't think that anybody's journey is really, I can't remember the word. Like I said before, my words are not coming to me today. But you know what I mean? Like nothing's linear. Everybody's journey is different. And no matter where you are on your journey, it can happen for you, right? Like, I don't know what the hell my kid and my dog are doing right here, but I'm sorry. Out of all the rooms in our house, it never fails. Like, oh my God.
It's not my house today.
Oh, it just never ends. Like, God almighty. But anyways, I've super lost my train of thought now, but yes, this, as soon as you get out of this and you learn to trust yourself here, I think that that's where the self-love grows. And that's where true self-compassion and self-love comes. And that's where I believe self-love is true, right? I believe that, yes, the self-love term, like you said before, is thrown around in marketing and all the things, but it comes from here. In that instance, true self-love comes from here, but not a lot of people can get to this place. So I think there's a good term and a bad term for it. 100%. There's like the little angel on one side and the little not so much on the other side that can be thrown around with that term for sure.
I think Sammy, you made a really important point too, that especially so in our Western culture, that we really don't have that mind body connection the way that some of the other areas in the world do, where they really like they go inside instead of where we really rely on external validation, external stimulus, material things, like, right, like buying the things, going into debt over the things. The things are what make us feel better instead of ourself inside making ourselves feel better. And it's literally, the dynamic is the opposite. We look to the outside to be good, and the inside is where all of the negative energy is harnessed. And I think that's probably why Western culture is so fucking unhealthy. Like, we have the highest rates of obesity and heart disease and cancer and all that kind of stuff. And it's because of what we're doing to our bodies. Yeah. Like, we're destroying ourselves from the inside out, and we have absolutely no awareness of our own bodies, how to be kind to it, how to listen to it, how to work with it, how to understand it, how to listen to like how it's speaking to us. Like, I did a reading with a local medium a while ago, total side tangent, but one of the things she told me years ago, she never met me, she doesn't know any of my journey. And she said to me, you have to listen to your body, because your body speaks to you about what it wants from you. And like, it will literally direct you to where it is that your heart wants to go. Like, she could see that energy inside of me of like where I want to be, but where I was stuck. And she literally said the answer to like all of my problems are there if I turn inside and listen to self. And I think that's kind of what you were getting at. I'm assuming with that like mind body connection, but I think that's really missing in our culture, in our world.
Amanda, you know me too well, because I think you knew that what you just said is really going to spark something in me, especially like the West and like external. And a huge part of my journey has been Buddhism, Buddhist philosophy, Buddhist psychology. And yeah, in our Western culture, and once again, this is not a default to us, because this is what we've been taught by people who have been taught that, right? So it's kind of our time to break this link, because we know it does not work based on neuroscience. And body positivity nowadays, maybe this is just a misconception that I personally have, but I feel like body positivity and self-love are like the twin sisters that you can't, like, they're always together. So I can only have self-love with body positivity. So once again, it's all external, forgetting that without the internal understanding and awareness, none of it's going to matter. And my nephew, my littlest nephew, he's 5. I can give him my cell phone. He would know how to do stuff on it. I would have no idea. Yet emotional regulation, even most adults don't really know that, right? So we really have an infant understanding of the internal world, and we just want to focus on the external. So I think as coaches too, this is such our responsibility to also shift that narrative. I'm not saying we shouldn't have body positivity, obviously, but also this sense of body positivity doesn't necessarily lead to self-love. It is one area out of many, and it can also be super toxic, right? Like, I was talking to Amanda about bikinis. So nowadays it seems like you don't love your body if you don't want to be in a bikini. I personally don't like water. Like, if me and my husband go tropical holidays and we're going to the beach, I'm like, this is going to be boring. Like, I'm more of a jungle person. And so if I'm going to the beach, if I'm going to the water, I'm going to want to be doing something active, paddleboarding. I say something active, but like, that's the only thing I actually want to do is paddleboarding. So there's not other options. And when I'm paddleboarding, if I'm in a bikini, so for those of you not watching, like, I don't really have boobs, right? So like, if my arms come up, boo, nip slip, that's awkward. Bikini, it's like, I don't want to just riding up my bum the whole time. But the fact that I don't want to wear a bikini, then according to very popular body positivity, means, well, I don't have body positivity, so therefore I must hate myself. That could not be further from the truth. Just because I don't want to buy into this one narrative of what these things mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. It's everything is so superficial in our culture, and it's so like vain. That's what we're taught. That's what we're taught self-love is. Self-love is like when you wake up and you put yourself together and you put on a nice outfit and then you feel good. Well, no, sorry, it's not. Like, it's You could feel totally amazing and totally love yourself without any makeup or any clothes or any things or any person or anything, right? Just being with yourself. Like, we're, and body positivity, don't even fucking get me started. I just, I can't even with that shit. I'm sorry, but we already had a rant on that a long time ago.
We did.
Yes. It's a good thing, but like we said, you need to, it's okay to accept your body for where it is, whatever it looks like, whether you're really small and you struggle with an eating disorder, like SJ was talking about, or if you're really big and you struggle with an eating disorder, whatever your problem is, that's totally okay. But it has to be followed with action that is actually loving yourself, right? Yeah. Like taking care of yourself. It's not just, I'm 500 pounds and I'm cool with that. I'm not going to do anything. You're not healthy. Like, you're just not. And it's, I love that you love yourself. That's great. But you should still want to better yourself. Like, even the most fit and healthy people in the world, like, they don't just reach it and be like, okay, cool, I'm done. Like, mm-hmm. right. Like, you have to, it's, it then becomes a maintenance thing, but there's always something to work towards. It's not just, I'm good enough. Just, I'm perfect. I don't have to do anything. That's not realistic.
And even with that, it's like, okay, so in self-love, I want to draw a parallel between what you just said, Amanda, where, yeah, it's not where you just have it. And I think too, we really like this, like I said before, start, stop. And then, oh, I've gained this thing, so therefore I don't need to work on it. I think that really stunts us, even in our opinions, our views, our beliefs. We don't need to marry these things for the rest of our lives and just, no, I know everything now, therefore I don't need to try. We should always try to better ourselves with our bodies, with our mindsets. And I'm not saying our bodies, like, go be Dana Lynn Bailey, right? Like, I would love to look like Dana Lynn Bailey, but even then, after, still go do stuff. And there's always something for us to work on. We never just have to stop, because what a precious gift each and every one of us have to have this precious human existence. It's not meant for us to just, I know everything, I'm going to stop, I'm done my journey. What?
Yeah. Totally. Totally. And
just,
I find
that's just playing small.
Totally. And I find it so funny is, like, in the last, I'd say, I don't know if you and me had talked about this at one point, Amanda, where we had talked about this, how you, like, sometimes it can feel like a stop and go, like, you all of a sudden reach this destination on your journey and, like, okay, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, we're, like you said, we consistently have to keep trying to do more and better ourselves and yada, yada, yada. But then it's like, you also have to be careful that you don't get stuck in the trap of, oh, I'm not ready yet. I still have to do more research. I'm not ready yet. I still have to do more things before I do something more, right? Like, you consistently have to keep pushing your comfort zone and pushing your boundaries while you're bettering yourself, but not waiting until it becomes toxic to yourself, where you get into the trap of perfectionism. Right? Like, I got stuck in that a couple of years back and I was like, I'm not ready to do the thing yet. I got to do more learning and all the things. And then I just realized one day, I was like, what a bullshit excuse that is, Vanessa. Right? Like, I just all of a sudden realized, like, I'm probably more qualified than I give myself credit for, which usually we always are before we start the thing. I was just fucking scared. Right? And so I think that we have to be careful with that trap too, is not to let it slip into perfectionism, but we're all human. We all have to give ourselves massive compassion and grace when we're doing this, because most of us that have been on this journey haven't been on this journey before, right? Like, and we're learning new things. So as we're going about it, you, like, I just keep thinking of, like, that bowling ball bumper, right? Like, okay, you feel out of alignment, boop, back on, whatever that journey looks like. None of us have linear journeys. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about life, is we're all just here to learn and do our best. Right. And I think that's where, that's another part of, like, what self-love really truly means, is showing up and doing your best imperfectly. Mm-hmm. Like, if I love who I am, I could not say that 10 years ago, when I was trying my best to be the version of who I thought I was supposed to be accepted in the world. I thought I had self-love because I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, air quotes, if you can't see me, but I felt like shit. I was way up in here, right? Like, I was up in this asshole between my ears, and I don't rely on makeup now. I don't rely on hair. I don't rely on what my body looks like. I feel fucking good because I like who I am, but that took a lot of years of digging up all of the stuff that I had to unlearn before I could get to this place. Right. And So yeah, it's, I love this conversation. Oh my God. I am just like, I'm so happy. Ah, I love it.
What you both talked about, like with the external and maybe for some people, I'm not saying this might not be self-love for them. Maybe mm-hmm. it really truly is a self-love thing for them to have all the perfect clothes and the perfect makeup. But I think like, man, how much energy are we spending on that where we could be spending the energy internally versus all this external stuff? So I even switched to like the Steve Jobs thing where people have given me shit too. Why don't you wear different pants? Like, do you just wear black because you don't like your legs? No, I wear black pants and Amanda can vouch for this. I wear black pants 9 times out of 10 that you see me, I'm going to be in black pants. Not because black is slimming or all this other bullshit things that we're taught. Honestly, it's because it makes me not have to think. I can pick my pants, pick my shirt, and I know my shirt will always fit because out of my day, and like not in a condescending way, I have more important things to spend my energy on versus picking out my clothes. And for some people, that is their important thing. And the things that are important to me, they're like, girl, I want nothing to do with that. And that's totally fine. Like, we're all allowed to have differences, but we can be more honest and responsible with our energy expenditure.
Totally. Oh, and yeah. that's actually not weird or anything, because even our mentor, we did a challenge at one time a couple of years ago in one of our previous coaching groups where we were challenged to literally pick out, like, look at our wardrobe and think about how much energy we spend in the morning trying to figure out what to wear. And we had a challenge where she said, like, for the next 2 weeks, at the beginning of the week on Sunday, pick out the clothes for each day and have it ready to go. If you're going to work out in the morning, have your workout clothes ready to go in the morning, and then have your next, just like your toddlers, right? Like, take that off of your plate. Mm-hmm. And man, it's freeing. Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
I can really go for anything that we struggle with though, right? Like,
yeah.
If food is your struggle, if you meal prep and you have your meals in the fridge and they're already all cooked and you just have to throw it in the microwave and grab a fork and eat it, you're way more likely to stick to your plan because you're not like, you have an energy bank account every day, right? Like, and every decision you make is taking a withdrawal from that. And as you get closer to the end of the day, you have way less willpower left in that bank account to make decisions that are in alignment with whatever it is that you're chasing for your goals or for your self-love journey, right? So if you're more conscious of that kind of stuff and you limit those things, like SJ was talking about, if a wardrobe doesn't matter to her, if that's not a focal point and she can eliminate that part of her day completely, it's just like a snap decision. You're dressed. You don't even think about it. That gives you way more willpower in your bank account to actually go on the things that maybe you're struggling with, whatever those may be, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's really important.
And like, I will spend a lot of time on my sock game. Amanda knows this, but my pants
yes.
doesn't matter.
Her and Corey have the best socks. They're awesome. Both of them. Seriously. I'll have to, yeah, you're going to have to send a picture now, SJ. We're going to have to like post a picture of the crazy socks.
Daily sock game.
Yes. Love that's it. Right. And the hair. She's always got super funky hair too. There's always something you can't really tell right now, but she usually has something funky going on.
I'm giving up on my hair for the same reasons where, yeah, like just out of all the things that I do in my day, out of all the appointments that I have, I just want to free up my space a little bit more, especially like with this new fork in the road I'm on with my journey. Just free it up all for just more introspection, more contemplation, so that I can have more discernment, more compassion. Like, it's been a really cool shift. But like Amanda said, I used to spend a lot of time on that. And now I'm shifting, and that's okay too. The things that are meaningful that we have the awareness of, it's allowed to change. Yet how often? And like, I'm willing to bet a lot of money that you both have had this too, where it changes.
Oh yeah. Yep. Oh, big time. I remember when I used to wear wigs, because I felt like I needed to, whole other thing. That was a whole other trauma of mine. I remember fucking around with my wigs every morning. Like, it would take me an hour and I didn't even have to wash it every day, just to get it looking perfect before I could leave my house, right? To try and make it look like it wasn't what it was. And I look back and I think like, and I have compassion for myself. I'm not judging myself whatsoever, but I think back and think like, man, I could have used that energy on so many other things. And but it wasn't until I had the self-awareness for myself that I had that feeling like, okay, I want more out of my life. And I started really kind of experimenting with what I was feeling that I realized I don't want to put this energy into this anymore. Right? Like I've got bigger things to worry about in my life than if people know that I wear a wig or if people know that I'm bald, right? Like it, and I'm not to say that, like, I'm not shaming anybody who's listening, who wears a wig. That's totally your own. That's your own journey. Like that's, we all have to find our own way. Right. But for myself, I look back and I think like, I could not, I'm not that person anymore. Like if you handed me a wig, I'd be like, oh, I don't know what you want me to do with this. Right. Like, let's donate it right now. I wouldn't even touch it. Cause it just, it's not worth my energy anymore. Right. Like, and it wasn't until I switched using that energy into looking at I get my clients to do this at certain parts of our journeys together is I get them to actually stare in the mirror. And this is not something I do right off the hop with people because it can be very triggering. But I get people to stand in front of a mirror with themselves when they're comfortable and when they're ready, when they think that they're ready. And I get them to just stand and stare at themselves. And it's amazing now to think back to when I used to wear wigs and when I was in that place where I had to be a certain way. I, you know, was obsessive about the way that I looked and the external validation from people because I never looked in mirrors at that time. I hated looking in the mirror because the person who was staring back at me wasn't me. It was like this version of myself that I hated. And this version of myself that made me feel gross, but it was the version of myself that got validation from the outside world. So somehow in there, I lived with it, right? And it wasn't until I started literally looking at myself, and it was really hard the first couple times I did it, looking at myself as the way that I am now, thinking like, how can this human be beautiful? How can this human be worthy? How can this human be enough, right? And it took a long time for me to be able to connect those two pieces together. But I can tell you right now, my energy has become tenfold since I've got to this place from what it was before, because this is true, pure happiness with who I am, right? Like this is contentment and this is actual self-love. And I take care of my meat suit now that I've, you know, better than I ever have before. I choose consciously in every decision how I'm going to take care of my body. You know, like I'm not perfect. I still eat Big Macs and I still have Slurpees. I'm not a perfect human, but I don't know. I wouldn't trade this bald head and no makeup I'm wearing makeup now because I was at work today and I felt like I wanted to wear makeup, but most days you won't find me with makeup on. And you know, like I would never trade this ever in the world for going back 10 years ago to the version of who I was. And it's just, it's fascinating to me what we consciously choose to put our energy into because we think we need to. Whereas when you go back into your heart center, right? Like that's the stuff that we truly need to start listening to and putting our energy into it because that's the stuff that sets you free. Right.
I think that's a really good way to show just how disconnected our mind and our body are too, right? When you're forced to look in the mirror and you look and you don't see what you envision in your mind. Like, does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
we have this totally different, I mean, obviously we can't see ourselves. So there's that aspect, but I mean, it's beyond that. Like we are so disconnected from our bodies that we shock ourselves when we actually stop and look and it's like, wait a minute, that's actually what I look like. Like body dysmorphia is like an extreme version of that. But I think we all, male or female, no matter what we look like, we struggle with that a little bit. Like if you actually could stand beside like a 360 version of yourself, I think you'd be fucking shocked. Like you'd be like, yeah. What? Like that's what I look like from a 45 from the back? Like what? You don't know. And I think part of me thinks if you had more mind-body connection, maybe you would know more, but I think maybe you would probably actually care less. Like it wouldn't shock you because it just wouldn't matter. Like your body is just your physical being in the world. Whereas if you're really connected, like you're not going to look and see the butt and the cellulite and how fat your arms are. You're going to look and be like, man, like I look really happy. Or I look like I'm like radiating good energy or whatever, really. Like it's just totally. And that's again, part of kind of how we're conditioned and raised over here is this is what matters, how we look in the world and how much space we take up in the world and how polite we are and all these kind of things. And it's like, no, that's not what we're here for. That's not our purpose. We're not here to fit in a fucking box and look the same way as everybody else. Like, it's just not. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We need to work on that.
I love what you both just shared. And so this is like uncensored, real live podcast. So I'm going to get into something that's a little controversial to share with you guys. And Amanda, I'm not sure if I shared this with you about what happened on my birthday, but I think with what you both said about like our energies and what we put our energy into, what we don't, and also Amanda, what you talked about with like mind body disconnection. So it's like, it's disillusion, right? Like we're living in this disillusion with our mind and body. We're living in disillusion with our thoughts and reality of the world. Once again, not at our fault. It is very cultural, and other cultures don't necessarily have that. And so for my birthday, it was a good day, but I kind of had some feels too. Like, you know, you kind of have like those sad feelings. And I had this really disturbing thought. It might be a little bit controversial, but
it's okay.
I thought like, how freeing would it be to not have any worries, to not have any fears? How freeing would it be to get diagnosed with a terminal disease? Like, no one should ever think that, right? Like, fucked up to think that, not something we should wish for. Mm-hmm. But my thing was like, have you guys seen The Holiday with Queen Latifah?
No.
The movie?
I don't think so.
So it's a very good feel good Christmas movie. And I'm going to spoiler alert for it because if I don't, it can't help prove my point. Yeah. But she gets diagnosed with a disease and she knows she's only going to have so long to live. So then she actually lives. She quits her job. She does the things that she would never do if she didn't think she was going to die. Yep. Right. So it's almost like there's a sense of freedom knowing that you're going to die. Super fucked up to have that thought, I'm aware. And I'm not wishing that upon anyone, but in that moment I was like, wow. And so a little bit of a backstory before that, especially with the path that I'm on now with Mahayana Buddhism, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, just a different cultural understanding of death where it's not scary, but they have this awareness that it's going to happen to all of us versus in our Western culture where it's like, it's not going to happen until you're old. And it's this fantastic thing. We don't know that. Like it's this huge disillusion. Once again, not to be scary, not to freak people out, but it is a fact that we overlook.
Yep.
And so I thought I don't need to have some doctor diagnose me because every day I'm actually diagnosed to know, I don't know when it's going to happen. No day is guaranteed to me. And there's absolutely no way I can know when it's going to happen. So for my birthday, what I did is I decided to, especially with the stuff that I'm studying, I feel like if you're going to study something, if you have doubts and if you're not actually going to buy into it, you can't learn it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give myself a year to really have a Tibetan outlook where every single day that I wake up, I'm literally going to live it and treat it like it's my last, because I don't know that it's not. None of us do. And when I did that, it made a lot of shifts for me where so many things that I put energy in doesn't matter. Like it literally doesn't matter. My interactions that I have with people, especially people that know that that's kind of what I'm doing now. The unnecessary small talk about things doesn't happen, because how do you not know that that's not the last message you're going to send? Once again, none of this is to be scary. I know people might be like, oh my God, freak out. But this is just to make us more intentional and impactful with our actions. Mm-hmm. So my job changed a little bit in the sense that I'm not on social media as much. The things that I post on social media now are much different, because I feel like if this is the last thing I post, is this what I want? It's not that it's not important for people to post those things. I have a little bit of a different agenda. Mm-hmm. And the conversations that I have, the energy, my job is still there, because if I did know that this was my very last day, I would still want to be in the career that I am. It's just those small, subtle shifts have allowed me to have more self-awareness, which has created a different sense of self-love, if that makes sense.
100%. And I'm in total agreement with you. I have people that ask me all the time, how are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? How are you so confident? I woke up on the right side of the grass. That's it. Yeah. Like 100%, you don't know when your last day is your last day. Mm-hmm. Again, you nailed it. The fact that I don't want to put my energy into meaningless shit that at the end of the day doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What matters to me is that I'm a good person. What matters to me is that I'm raising good little babies that are going to be decent human beings. What matters to me is that the people that come into contact with me feel worthy and seen and loved. everything else is just junk. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just junk, right? Like, and I don't think that that's morbid at all. I don't think that any of that is controversial. I think that a lot of people just, you're right, that they just go about their day to day and they don't think about that. And mm-hmm. it is very true that we all have an expiry date. Mm-hmm. We hope that it's going to be when we're old and frail and we've seen our grandkids and, or whatever, right? Like we've seen the seven wonders or how many wonders of the world we have. But in reality, that's not the case for most of us. And I would hate for somebody to have the realization after somebody really close to them goes, or they have a traumatic experience, right? Like I that's the worst case, I think, for people, is when they don't have that realization and that becoming until something devastating happens really close to them. And then it's like that wake up call that people always talk about, right? Like, so-and-so got killed, it was my wake-up call. So-and-so had this happen, it was my, you don't need to wait for a wake-up call to start living your life intentionally. I think that's,
we've had them.
Oh, 100%.
Like, we've all had wake-up calls. And yeah. Even me sometimes, I go back to my amnesia. Like I'll have the wake-up call and be like, yep, I know this now. This is the thing, gonna do it different. A little while later, it's like, well, back to sleepwalking.
Totally.
Right? So it's about being intentionality with it, but always having in our face is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I really like that about the Mexican culture too, with like celebrating the Day of the Dead and all that kind of stuff. And it's, I've been listening to, what's her name? Dolores Cannon. Have you guys ever heard of her?
No.
She's, I don't even know how I'd describe her. So she talks about like religion, but more in like a mystic kind of way. Like it's not like God and heaven and hell. And it's about like how we've lived past lives and we keep coming back until we learn lessons, and like we choose kind of what lessons we're going to come back and learn. And then once we're done, we like move on to like a different, I don't know if it was galaxy, universe, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like there's like stages to everything, right? Like we're in one life right now, but this is like just like a blip on the radar kind of thing. And I really like how she talks about like that you die physically, yes, but like it's not the end of you, right? Like we're energy, we're matter, we don't just up and poof gone. Like there's way more to it that we don't even understand. Like this is such a small thing, but I really think having that awareness and that appreciation for the fact that we don't know what our lessons are, we don't know what our challenges are, we don't know what our victories are, we don't know when it's all going to be over, and to learn to live without fear of it, and instead I guess tie it more back to like where we started talking about legacy, right? Like find ways to make the time that you do have here have impact on you and other people around you, rather than just coasting through or feeling like a victim constantly because your life is challenging, right? Like, I like the perspective that she puts on it, that like, you're here to learn specific things. If you're being challenged, you're here to learn specific things. And in the way she explains it, like you choose to come back and relearn those paths. Like you're here for a purpose. You're growing as like a soul and as a being, and there's just so much more to it. And I think that's something that we're trying really hard to like understand more of. We're nowhere near educated on it at all, but I want to teach my kids that kind of stuff, because kids just blow my mind when they talk about death and dying. Like they're so naive to how sad and profound it is, like in our culture. And they're just like our dog died a year and a half ago, right? Oh yeah, Jaws got sick and he died, right, Mom? Is he in heaven now, Mom? Is he like, they just talk about it like it's no big deal. And even Carter, it was so funny. He's like, you know, I don't think I want to live to be 100. And I was like, why? Because I don't know, they have 100 in their head. Like 100 is like the milestone of life. You like hit 100. That's how old you get to. That's when life ends and everything, right? And I was like, why? And he's like, that's just so long. And I'm like, okay, right? Like, whereas us as adults, like people are like, oh, like I want to live to be 100. Like they couldn't, they don't want to think about the fact that tomorrow could be your last day. Whereas kids are just so naive and focused and present that they just don't fucking care about being 100. Like they care about right now and what's happening. And I think that it's really important to teach them that like, death is part of life. Like, we're all already born, so we're all dying, right? Yeah. Like, you may as well try and live while you're at it.
I think one of the most, I guess you could say, morbid exercises I've ever done, and I don't remember who got us to do this or if you even did this at one point in matter or not, but one of the things that really helped me flip the switch in my mind as to what really matters and what is just the gibberish and the garbage of life is to write your own eulogy. So I literally sat down one day and I thought to myself, and this was before I had the self-awareness that I have now. I sat down and I thought to myself, okay, right now, how I'm living my life, what would people say about me? If it was my last day, what would people stand up at the podium and say? She had nice hair. Her blonde wig always looked perfect. You know, like, she did what everyone told her to do and she was a good girl. Hell no, that's not what I want people to remember me as, right? Like, I want people to remember me as being me, being a trailblazer, being somebody who gave people permission to show up in the world as they are, right? Like, unjudged. And I want people to go, holy crap, like, she slid into that, whatever you put me in when it's my time to go, doesn't matter, I don't care. You know, like, I'm not going to be in this meat suit when I'm gone anyways. Like, I want people to think or say about me, like, she did everything. Like, she lived life. She didn't give a shit what her ass looked like in a bikini. She didn't care what people thought about her bald head. She loved big. She loved hard. Like, she spread love and she did it really well. That's when it comes down to it. That's what's important in life. Mm-hmm. All of this outside validation stuff is just, it's what keeps us playing small. And it's what, you know, keeps businesses in business, because that's the whole other part of it, right? Is when you have the understanding that most of the beauty industry is just, as much as they're there saying, we want to support you in your self-love growth and all the things, they're still putting out that message that what they're selling is going to fix you. Mm-hmm. And I have a whole hate on for, like, I'll wear makeup sometimes if I want to wear makeup. But even then, when I'm putting eyeliner on, which I don't know how to use because I've never cared to figure it out, but I put it on and I think to myself, like, yeah, at some point in my life, I was taught that I needed eyeliner to make myself look pretty. And, you know, it's just, it's
men,
that whole,
men have it so much easier than we do.
Well, and I'd like to think that, but, like, even I have compassion for, like, my husband, some of the stuff that, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
he makes comments about his dad bod and stuff. And I'm like, dude, your dad bod is amazing. Like, it's, you know, like, they have that six pack figure that they're up against as well, right? Like, they have to be able to perform a certain way. They have to be able to, you know, make the bread and butter and bring, yeah, make all the money and have a comfortable life. And they can't have this and they have to have that. And it's, you know, sometimes I think that, yes, as women, we might have it harder, but I will never have a penis. I don't know what he's up against, you know, like, it's hard to judge what's harder than the other. But yeah, I think once you come to the realization, and I think that's when I set myself free really truly, was when I realized, like, this is all a game. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to lose because somebody else told me that I was XYZ. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I get to define who I am, and it takes a lot of work. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not like you wake up and you're just like, this is who I am, right? But when you I think it's less about learning more, and it's more about learning less. You know, like, it's not about learning more. It's about that. I said that wrong. It's not about learning more. It's about unlearning all the shit that we've been taught, and yeah, getting back to the innocent kid that's in us that needs the healing. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that's a whole other fucking podcast we could do, but yeah.
And it's just,
this is so good.
Normative. And it's not always been that way, right? Like, even our society has not always been a secular society. That is a very new phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And even, like, Amanda, what you said, how here people get really sad about death. In other cultures and other traditions, it's actually a very exciting thing, because in death, you can have the freedom from samsara, right? Like, you can go to the different bardos. When babies are born, that's kind of sad, because now they're born into this life of inevitable suffering, right? Like, that's a very Buddhist concept, that suffering is inevitable, and people think that that's dark, but it's true. Like, no one can, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say no one. I would love to have a conversation with someone who wants to explain to me that in life, suffering, some level of suffering is not inevitable, right? And just like Vanessa, what you said about like writing your eulogy, and that's so weird to us. Mm-hmm. But in other cultures, like every day they meditate and practice their death. That is such a freeing thing for me too, to keep this present, where every day I practice what it's obviously I don't know what it's going to be like, but practice the disillusionment of the elements in my body. Practice like, what is that going to be like? Practice all the scary things. So that when it happens, it's not scary because I've practiced it. We practice driving, we practice walking, we practice our weddings, we practice these inevitable things. Yet death, oh no, mm-hmm. Let's just brush that under the rug. Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder where that started or why that started in our culture.
I just hope I don't go by Lake Shark any other way.
Vanessa has a very massive fear of sharks in lakes, like not saltwater bodies.
And I 100% know that they don't exist. Like it's like, I 110% know they're not there. It's just the unknowing of what's underneath me in deep, dark water. I can't do it. I did it. I've done it a couple of times. I've jumped in with life jackets on because my rational thinking is if it eats me, I want half of my body to come back to the surface, right? Find me. But even then it's like super irrational. It's just, it's fucked up. But yeah, as long as I take, yeah, blimp, I'll watch it come bus. I'll change my underwear, but you know, like, yeah, it is one thing that nobody really talks about and no one really prepares themselves for. Right. And it can be labeled as a scary thing when I truly believe that this isn't all that we have. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I really believe that this is just the human experience that we get. And this is just a meat suit and a vessel that we have. And yeah, energy doesn't die. We're taught that from when, you know, in school. Energy does not die. So,
but we forget it when it comes to our own bodies.
Right.
Yeah. I like what you said, Sammy. That's something that, I think really tied into, like, I can't remember exactly how it was worded. I'll have to send you a link to some of Dolores's stuff. It's really interesting. She's like long gone now, but Mike just discovered her stuff and it's like blowing my mind, but the suffering, right? Like, that's part of what she says when you come back earthside and you're reborn, like you're picking some sort of struggle to come back and overcome whatever it is, financial, body abuse, like all these things, right? Like there's all sorts of stuff that everybody goes through. And basically once you have mastered all of those things, then you don't come earthside anymore. That's when you go to like the heaven kind of place. Like that's your reward once you've learned everything, but you'll repeat coming to life over and over. Like it could be 10 times, it could be 100 times, it could be 1,000 times, like it could be like 1,000 lifetimes before you get all your shit figured out and you finally like graduate and you get to move on to the happy place. Mm-hmm. But it's every time that you come back, that's like part of what she believes too, is that you're coming back to learn lessons, and you learn lessons through struggle. You don't learn lessons through successive victories over and over and over and over and over again, right? Like I don't think you learn anything if you're just naturally successful at a lot of things until one day you get hit with some sort of failure and you're like, what the fuck? Like, I thought I had this all figured out. And yeah, I think that that's a big part of what life is. And I think that we don't need to fear the death because there's so much more to it. There's so much more to it. Like that's why we have deja vus, right? Like we've been here and we've been through this thing. It's like some sort of matrix thing. Like I've even heard that we're living in all these different universes, living the same life in the same body at the same time, but we're having like a little bit different experiences and stuff. And that's where deja vus come from. And it's very interesting stuff, but we're way far off topic.
If you guys ever want to have a podcast on spirituality, I can bring so much like to you with Mahayana Buddhism. It is my biggest passion right now. And everything you just said, Amanda, what I love about, I find all ancient wisdom traditions, although they are different, have mm-hmm. a very similar concept, because everything you just said, there's parallels to that in Buddhism and there's parallels to that, I'm sure, in the yogic tradition. It's just, okay. And there's very small things that differentiate it, right? Like even Buddhism, there's lots of different sects of Buddhism. They're not all the same, but it's a lot of the times on the same philosophical processes. Just like other religions too. They're built on the same thing. Just different cultures at the time needed different stuff.
Thank you, Mike. If you're listening, you need to listen to that. He always freaking gives me crap about like quit saying, oh my God, you don't believe in God. I'm like, I don't need to believe in God. God is like, I believe in like the universe and energy. And that's like the same mm-hmm. thing. Just Christianity labeled it God, right? Mm-hmm. Like other religions have labeled it different things. Like there's Buddha and there's God and there's like the Quran or Quran, however you say it. Like there's all these different, they're all talking about the same thing. They're just speaking of it with different names, and the path to get there is a little bit different, right? Like mm-hmm. the backstory and everything is maybe not quite the same, but it's the same kind of like, God isn't a person. God is like a thing and an energy and a creation and all that kind of stuff, right? The same as like the universe, and it's all parallel. They're just speaking different languages. And when they're like, when you're super into your religions, I don't think that they can see that similarity until you kind of go through. And like, I'm not religious in any sense. So like, I'll grab a little bit from here and read a little bit from there and listen to a little bit from here. And I can see the commonalities because I'm not just like blinders on like straight Christian mm-hmm. or straight this or straight that or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're way off topic.
If I don't say this, and if they're like hardcore Tibetans listening to this, and they'd be like, ah, SJ did not say anything about that. The coolest thing about Buddhism is that it's never prayer, or like Buddha's not the God. Buddha's a guy. Buddha was Siddhartha, and then he had this profound moment of awareness, and then he became a teacher. So in Buddhism, it's never about like God and Buddha, not interchangeable, because it's never about praying to Buddha. He's just a guide and like a mentor, and all of us have Buddha nature inside of us, which is really cool. So it's a little bit different than other religions in that aspect. But I just want to throw that out there in case the Tibetans are like, okay.
So no, I'm not meaning to parallel the two, that they're the same, but there's like a head thing that kind of everything flows from, right? Like if that makes sense, right? Like that's your teacher and where you learn everything from. Whereas in Christianity, God is your leader and your teacher. And that's where everything kind of forms from. Right. So there's like a top to the pyramid, and then it flows down out into the people. But I have a question, because we need to get back to some other stuff, and we're like almost at time cap here, and Sammy needs to go to bed. So I'm interested to hear a little bit more about the, when self-love turns into self-sabotage, and maybe if you can clarify that a little bit, if any of our listeners are kind of now like, well, what the fuck, SJ? Like, I thought what I was doing was loving myself, but now I think I might be wrecking my life. Mm-hmm. So like, can you clarify that a little bit more for how they can tell if what they're doing is actually honoring themselves, or if it's actually a way of like distracting themselves?
So the number one thing that I recommend, if anyone's in that boat now, sorry for bursting your bubble, guys. Just be honest with yourself and cut out the outside noise. It doesn't matter anything that you've heard. It doesn't matter what I've said. It doesn't like, sorry, it doesn't matter what Amanda said. It doesn't matter what Vanessa said. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what self-love is to you aside from you. But sometimes we just have to get pretty brave. Know that we've all messed up before. We're all going to still mess up. Give yourself some grace to admit this is hurting me, not helping me. So we need to stop looking for the external people to tell us what to do and start to learn to be with self. And just to throw out a tool, if people want to try this, maybe it will work, maybe it won't. On Saturdays, I like to spend my mornings in silence. That helps me get back to myself, where I cut out the noise. I can be honest with myself, hang out with my demons sometimes, but just to have that internal knowing, because I'm a huge fan that you, so all of us, when I say you, we all know what is best for us. We've forgotten because we've relied on the outside noise too much. So I can't tell you a way to know if it's hurting you or helping you, because we're also very good at manipulating. So someone can make me believe that this thing maybe really is helping them. If they don't want to be honest with themselves, it's going to be very hard for them to be honest with me. And we're all good at masking. So they just need to get back to self and have a really honest conversation. Also, I know that that is very hard and tricky sometimes. And if they would ever like help with that, I love holding space. I love answering questions. I love being curious. I think as coaches, that's our number one thing that we should do, is not be dictators, but be curious. Yeah. So if they would like a little bit of guided curiosity to help them with that, because everyone's situation is going to be very dependent to them, they can always feel free, reach out, send me a message, send me an email. And also that's not a sales pitch. That's not send me a message so you can be my client. No, I honestly don't want that. I just want to hold some curious space for you.
So good.
I can attest to Sammy is probably the best question asker. I don't even think I've ever told you that, but like, I literally, every time that I see her, so we'll like go for coffee or go for walks or whatever. And they're usually like 1.5, 2 hours long, about that long. And every time I leave, I'm like, did I even ask Sammy one question the whole time? Like, I feel like I spend the whole time answering, because she literally asks like, and even when you were talking earlier about how you're like trying to cut out the bullshit, I can see that shift from when I've met you. There's no like, it's kind of like, hey, hi, hug. And then like, she just gets into it. Like, there's no, how's it going? How are, like, she might ask how their kids are, but it's not like, how's the kids? She'll be like, oh, like I saw on Instagram, da, 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 like, how did that, like, she's very good at asking questions. Very good at asking questions. Yes. Next time we meet, I'm going to like come with a sheet so I can be like, no, stop. I got like 10 questions I need to ask before you can ask me anything. So yes, I would definitely suggest people reach out to Sammy for that, because she's very skilled in that area. So, and she's a very good listener. And I feel like that's another skill that people really fucking suck at these days. So we always want to talk about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lost art form. But right. Anyways, do you have any other pieces of wisdom, any other knowledge bombs you need to drop to piss anybody else off and break open their minds or their hearts or anything like that?
I have to say, I don't think that any of this conversation is going to piss anybody off. I honestly, no, this has been pretty good.
I think some people would have a hard time understanding that things that they might think are self-love, like Sammy said for herself, with exercising, right? That they can actually be acts of hate, but on the outside, we totally get rewarded for them because they look good, right? Like eating really well, exercising really well. That's like my world is eating and exercising. Mm-hmm. So I can't really think of any other examples, but it goes for anything that we can get addicted to things in an unhealthy way, right?
And
I feel like an addictive personality is probably a pretty common thing nowadays, because it's just kind of how we're cultured to be. So it's
the dopamine hit.
Yeah. And the external validation.
Because we don't like just being, we want something to do. So if I can self-sabotage, then I don't have to be, like we said before, then it's this external thing. So I don't have to be internal. And what I would like to leave people with, Amanda, number one, I think that you guys are doing a fantastic job. And I love that you're real. And it's not, and I listen to some of your podcasts too. And I really appreciate that you guys can disagree with each other sometimes on topics, but still be very civil about it. And I think people should keep listening, because it's a great way, and that's not modeled in our society very well. So it's a great way for them to keep learning that it is okay, it is safe, and to keep doing the work. And also just to leave people with, none of this, your growth is not Amanda, Vanessa, mine, your coaches, your gurus, anyone else's responsibility aside to your own. And I would really challenge everyone, maybe even you two this week, to start to cultivate the causes and conditions necessary for you to have the aspirations you want. So this is not a think it, do it thing. It's just a let's fucking take some responsibility, take the action, knowing that bad stuff can happen. Not going to sugarcoat it and say it will be easy. Bad stuff can happen. Mm-hmm. But bad stuff is inevitable at the end of the day, and really start to live it like this could be your last day. And since my birthday at the end of May, I have messed up on that so many freaking times. I'm like, okay, I really hope I get it tomorrow. But if I don't, I'm going to be in the same cycle. I'm sorry. It's all good. But we need to start taking responsibility and stop outsourcing so many things, which as a coach, I don't mind saying. Mm-hmm. If you're not ready to do the work, don't hire me. I don't want your money.
Yeah.
I don't want your time. I don't want any of that. We need to become ready, and that's your responsibility. So let's fucking go.
Yep. 100%.
I'm personally attacked.
I don't at all.
No, she's got such a good point though, that we, It's like everything's tomorrow or next week. I'll start Monday. It's I've got all these great ideas and all these goals, and just put them off, put them off, put them off. Right. Like there's no time like the present. So mm-hmm. I love Sammy's challenge. Mm-hmm. Like find a way to start, take some action, get mm-hmm. fucking moving. That's what we say all the time. Take yeah. action. You need to do something. If you have goals, you're never going to accomplish them by saying, I want $1 million. And then just sitting there waiting for fucking bills to rain down on you. Like it's
That's not how that happens.
And it also won't happen by hiring a money coach. Like you're not just going to go mm-hmm. pay somebody money and then be like, fuck, I'm loaded now. Like, no. Sorry, it doesn't happen that way. So,
well, and one of our favorite key phrases is fail fast. If you don't yeah. know, like half of the shit that we've done, podcasts, you're listening to it right now. We didn't fucking know what we were doing when we started this. We hit play one day. We decided we're going to do it. We hit play. And
we hardly even waited. Once we said yes, it was like a day or two later. Yeah. We were like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Just get it done. And right.
You know what? We could have sat on it. There's so many different things that we could have done that prohibited us from actually hitting play and doing the thing. Like fail fast, show up imperfectly. And this is the thing. Most people don't want the limelight. They don't want the highlight reel. They don't want the shiny, perfect thing that you've been marinating on for 2 years and have had to get perfect. Right? They don't want that. Doesn't resonate with people. People want to see the failures. They want to see the hard stuff. They want, because it's the human connection stuff, right?
Yeah.
You show up in
person. I literally,
go ahead.
Sorry, I'm interrupting you. No. I literally had this conversation with a friend of mine today that is like a brilliant writer. She used to have a like blog kind of page, and then it blew up, and then she sold it, all these things. And she wrote this really cool post. And then another girl that we mutually know, like shared a clip from it. Cause she was like, oh my God, like this makes so much sense to me. And I commented and I was like, man, like, I really wish you would get back to writing because you're just so good at it. Like it's, and then she's like, yeah, but I don't really know. Like, I don't think I really have anything in my life going on that's that inspiring. And I was like, dude, like you don't need to be inspiring. People need to know that other people out there who look like they have it together have fucking shitty, messy lives too. Yeah. Like I connect with that way more than somebody writing an inspirational quote. I can go to Google and find 10 million of those in 0.00017 seconds. I don't need those.
Yeah.
I need to know that the struggles I have in my marriage and with my children and with my friends and with my money and with my finances, with my job, all of it, that everybody else is going through the same shit. So you don't need to show up to inspire. You just need to show up as who you are. And that's enough.
Mm-hmm. I feel like perfectionism is selfish. And maybe you can like use that against your friend. Like by her not doing that, it's so selfish, because how many people could she help and heal? But yeah. Our perfection, because we don't want to be uncomfortable, it's fucking selfish. We've all yeah. done it before, but maybe if we can understand, wow, by me, if I can have a moment of discomfort and help one person who can help one person and all this, like that is what we're here for. Mm-hmm. In Buddhism, it's like the Bodhisattva vow. That is, what's the point of any of us learning anything if we're not going to share it? How yeah. selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I think that's what I loved about CrossFit so much too, Sammy, is that we're all suffering in community, right? We're all feeling the same things and we're all in the trenches together. And it's just it's a weird way to like link it together, but it's the same kind of thing. Like that's how people create community and connection and lasting relationships and stuff with each other, is by sharing those common, and it's usually the shit. It's not usually like, oh, we both won the lottery, let's be best friends. Like, yeah. Right.
It's like, I'll be best friends with anybody who wants to win the lottery. Just throwing that out there. just throwing it out there.
That energy, Vanessa, stop it.
No, Vanessa wins the lottery tomorrow.
Yeah. Right?
We need to stop. I've had so many weird things about lottery this week, and Mike made me buy a lottery ticket the other day. And there was like, I kept finding these coins from the kids kept dropping on the floor that I haven't seen in like 2 years that say like, I'm lucky and stuff. And then Carter stole one of Asher's shirts and it had, I'm feeling lucky on the front. And then I had two conversations about the bullshit COVID vaccine lottery. And then there was one more thing. And then we go into Circle K and Mike's like, oh, have you bought a lottery ticket lately? Cause I like never buy them, but knock on wood, 9 times out of 10, when I do, I win like $20 or whatever on them. Like I usually pay for my ticket. And I was like, oh, fine. Whatever. Now we're having another conversation about it. So,
I'm going to tell you right now, if you win the lottery, you can pay for our intro and outro thing.
Oh yeah.
Make this legit.
I will.
Perfect.
I will. And I'm going to buy a ticket to Sammy's little, you didn't even talk about that. She has this amazing retreat thing coming up. Go, you can pitch about that on here. You need to talk about that really quick before we send you to bed.
So me and my good friend, Rael, she's a professional fitness competitor. I was actually a client of hers. So I know she's legit. She's the kindest person ever. And what I like about her. So Amanda, I know that you're the same in the fitness industry, that you actually care about your people. When I retired from personal training, it's because I was tired of how shitty the industry can be. It's about money and marketing and actually not about health. But Rael is about health, which is why I'm so excited to partner with her on this. She literally cares about helping women, especially with hormones. She recently had a baby in her 40s. So hormone health came very important to her. Anyways, at the end of February, we have this really cool event going on where Rael has done getaways before. And Rael also is like a very smart, inspiring person. And she's bringing me along for this one to do the mindset. So you have Rael, total boss when it comes to like fitness. There's going to be chef curated meals based on Rael's menu. I'm going to be facilitating yin yoga some of the nights. I'm going to be doing daily workshops for mental health. One of the days there's like a yacht experience. There's a spa. There's going to be some IV, not like medicine, but vitamins and stuff. It's going to be just a really holistic event in Cancun at the end of February of 2022. So hopefully travel is going to be a lot easier by then, but you can check out, if you want more information, honestly, the easiest place to get all the information on that on Instagram, if you go Rael Fitness Getaway, that's where all that stuff is going to be. Also, if you check out my page, I'll have some information there as well, but it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be such a cool experience. And I'm very honored to be able to be part of that and facilitate some learning for these 8 women who come along.
Amazing.
Yeah. I love how like small and intimate it's going to be. I didn't realize that it was going to be teeny tiny until you posted something the other day. And I was like, 8 people. That's like almost getting one-on-one time with like a world-class trainer and a world-class, like mental, spiritual, like, oh, it's going to be so good.
Yeah. I mean, and I so like, because 8, I was like, right. That's kind of big. Like, but because yeah, it is very important to both Rael and I to have such one-on-one time. So that's the thing. And it's 8 other women who they want to do this. And also what I really appreciate, because this is something I do in my own coaching business, I really dislike if people are like, oh, I just want to hire you. Can you be my coach? No, there is a little bit of a vetting process, as in you're going to fill out an application. We're going to have a phone call. That's how my vetting process goes. And even for this event, Rael's not like, we're not just taking your money and sign up. Like, there is an application process. So the people who are part of this are going to be very like-minded, which is such a special thing versus other conferences. It's honestly just who's willing to pay, not who's a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I think that's so good. That was one of my favorite things about Transformation Weekend too. It's like, it's not a selection process, but I feel like she's curated so well, like such a great following and so many repetitive people that I swear to God, like the last few times I've gone, I learn more from the other people attending than I do from the actual person that's hosting the event. Like there's just so much to be said for that human connection and how we, again, like I said, rally together in the freaking muck, in the dirt, in the arena, and we like bond and grow over it. So I love that. Love it so much. All right. Well, we should wrap up because this was way longer than we said it was going to be, but
so good. Oh, my heart is so happy.
Right. Thank you so much for coming on, Sammy. We appreciate you so much. Again, you can find her on Instagram at Lifestyle Rising, or her website at www.lifestylerising.com. And yeah, reach out, go follow her for the content that she does post. It's amazing. Are you still doing podcasting, or your old ones are still on there? Should people maybe go back and listen to them? Are you going to keep going or what?
I haven't podcasted. Like, this is the first time that I've even like ripped out my podcasting mic for a while. So I haven't, I took a little bit of a break from it, but if people liked what we talked about here today, I do have like my favorite episode and it's my most popular episode too. I forget what episode it is, but it's the one that's called the game of Russian roulette that you're playing with your life. And it really goes into how we do take our days for like every day. Literally it is Russian roulette.
Yeah.
So good. I don't even think I've listened to that one, so I'm going to go back and listen to it. But all right. Well, thank you again, Sammy, so much for coming on. We appreciate you very much. And hopefully everybody listening enjoyed it, and everybody watching, if you're checking us out on YouTube, please continue to leave us reviews and tags on social media. Hit subscribe to be reminded when new episodes drop, which will be every Monday again. Again, sorry for missing last Monday. What else we got? You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. You can see all three of our beautiful faces on YouTube. And of course, as always, if you have questions, want to reach out, want to work with us, or even if you forget the information for Sammy or you can't find her, you can email us at selfloveuncensored@gmail.com and we will get back to you.
Until next time. Yes. So fun. Bye, Sammy. Oh my gosh. You stay on the line with us. Okay. Don't hang up. Bye, everybody.
Bye.